Giroux, welcome to WCRB and to Sunday Night at the Opera. Thanks for coming in.
Glad to be here.
This is sort of a based on the incredible true story kind opera, right?
Yeah, right.
What is the story of Dmitri?
Well, the story picks up basically where the Mussorgsky's opera, Boris Godunov, stops. And it's the story of what happens after the death of Boris Godunov and the return of the supposed, I don't want to give any of the plot away, son of Ivan the Terrible. And the civil unrest and the betrayal and the, it has everything that opera and grand opera should have. It has big crowd scenes, warring factions, betrayal, love, murder.
It's juicy.
It is. It's very juicy. And, you know, for anybody who knows Dvorak at his best, he can really write great red-blooded music. And it's all on display here in Dmitri. It's great to hear Dvorak, you know, show his stuff in that kind of dramatic writing.
When I think Dvorak, I think symphonies, I think string quartets. I don't necessarily, maybe other than Rusalka, think opera.
Well, you know, Dvorak actually, the last period of life especially, thought of himself primarily as an opera composer. He, even in the last 5 years of his life, dedicated himself almost exclusively to writing opera. You know, back in that era, if you wanted to make a living as a composer, you really didn't do it by writing symphonies or string quartets. Opera was the way to make a big career, and Dvorak was, like anybody else, he wanted the fame and the fortune, and he wrote 10 operas. People don't realize it, but he was a prolific opera composer.
So he wrote 10 operas. What led you in particular to Dmitri and not one of the other 10?
Right. Well, a couple things. One of the main guiding lights of Odyssey opera is to try to present repertoire that otherwise wouldn't be presented. So, or even to try to show composers who are not thought of as opera composers, but were very prolific in the operatic genre. You know, when you're sort of a repertoire wonk, as I describe myself, you go looking for things to do. So that was one of the reasons the company, or one of the missions of the company, is to present really fabulous operas that people otherwise wouldn't hear. I always knew about Dvorak's operas, and I was always a fan of Czech opera, Dvorak, Smetana, Martinu, and we've gotten in a pattern. This is the fourth year we've done this, of in September, hoping to launch the concert year, in a way, with a concert performance of a grand opera, an opera that otherwise would be too big to stage, or too big to even fit in any pit in the area. So we started with Wagner's Rienzi and did Korngold's Die Todesstadt, and last year Massenet's Les Cid. And I wanted to do something, I really wanted to change languages. So I was actually originally thinking of doing a Russian opera. And there's a lot of good candidates in Russian grand opera. But somehow the conversation about Czech opera came up, and I thought, Dvorak's Dmitri, that was grand opera in the 19th century in Czechoslovakia.
What makes him interesting as an opera composer?
Well, you know, for me, to do these operas, I mean, I've known all the Dvorak symphonies all my life, especially the later ones, which people are very familiar with. To hear that sound, but completely different music. There's moments in Dmitri where you get the sound of the second movement of the New World with that beautiful English horn solo. Well, turns out he learned that somewhere, and he learned that writing in Dmitri. There's big rousing choral numbers, which feel like the Slavonic dances. So it's got Dvorak's whole sound world. I mean, it's not short. So there's plenty of different chances for Dvorak to show all his different tricks.
Czech singing, it presents some unique difficulties. And you've brought in a completely Czech cast
almost
for the most part, right?
Yeah, almost complete cast from Prague. Well, the Czech language is a beautiful language, but it's very unusual. It's, I think, for non-Czech speakers and singers who are used to singing in German or Italian or French, even Russian is easier to learn than Czech. Czech has a lot of complicated vowel-syllable relationships, so I thought we really want the Czech sound, so we went and got some of the stars of the Czech opera world, and they'll be here singing Dmitri, and even they've never sung Dmitri before.
So it's not done in the Czech Republic that much either.
It has been done. It has a history. This performance on the 16th will be, for all extents and purposes, a North American premiere of what was Dvorak's final wishes for the score. He spent a lot of time with this score, tinkering and adjusting. He originally wrote it in a very... maybe folksy style is not the right way to say it, but in the sense of the Czech folk musical language appears a lot in it. Then, over the years, and he got more influenced by Wagner, and he revised it and made it more Wagnerian and less more of that Wagner flow from the beginning to the end. And then at the end of his life, after, and in fact he did part of that while living here in America, he revised it again and put back in some of the native Czech sounds. And so what we're playing is a critical edition, which was researched and put together with what is believed to be Dvorak's final wishes for this score. And that'll be the first time it's been played in North America.
You are going to be performing this at...
Jordan Hall on September 16th. Starts at 7:30. So get in early.
And a concert version.
In a concert version, yes. Stand and sing. A big chorus of 75, an orchestra of about the same. With a soloist, there should be a good 165 people on the stage.
Which is big for a little hall like Jordan
Which
Hall.
Which is big for, yeah, it's almost, if we sell out, which I think we will, so I would urge people to get their tickets as soon as they hear this, because the last 3 years have sold out these grand operas, there should be one, four audience members for every performer. Is that right? Something like that. No, almost. Five audience members for every performer.
Wow.
So that's a good ratio.
That's not bad at all. That's. You get your money's worth.
No, and it's nice. You know, somebody asked me this question about performing these huge works in Jordan, you know, and the thing is, in Boston, you have Jordan and Sanders, which hold about 1,000 people in the audience, and then you jump up to Symphony Hall, which is like 2,300 people. So once we start selling out two performances, maybe we'll move across the street to Symphony Hall for this event. But for now, we're in Jordan, and it's great because these very big-voiced singers and this very, very expansive music is right up front with you, and it feels really it feels like everybody's part of the experience.
And it's one night only.
One night only. It's not a short night either, I should tell people. These grand operas, that we will be playing this score without cuts. It's the whole thing. Yeah, it's good that you hear the whole thing because you may never get a chance to hear it again.
I wanted to ask you about that. Is part of your goals with Odyssey Opera in some way to bring some repertoire to people's ears that it might in the future become more standard?
Well, I do hope that these kinds of presentations will lead to Dvorak's acceptance into the more mainstream operatic repertoire. He wrote comedies. He wrote a grand opera. He wrote tragedies. He wrote, things with folk and mystical themes like Rusalka. But he was a fabulous opera composer, and I'm a great believer in whether it be opera or symphonic music that there are so many fabulous things out there that I often wonder why the public seems to want to hear the same things over and over again. I mean, of course, the new world is worth hearing multiple times, but so's Dmitri.
Wonderful. Well, certainly looking forward to it. The opera Dvorak's Dmitri coming to you on September 16th at Jordan Hall, 7:30. Get your tickets now. It will sell out fast. I'm certainly going to be there. Gil Rose, thank you so much for chatting with me.
Thanks for having me.